May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. Have you ever thought of those words? As I know we've all heard it. I've used it, that same greeting, a number of times. Not always, but I've heard a lot of pastors will use that greeting every time. Would you stop and think about it for a moment? Grace, mercy, and peace. It's significant, and may it be with us always. And that's our prayer to God each and every day, that His grace that He gave to us and has given to us because of what His Son did, His mercy because He loved us, and because of those two items, peace. Peace in our hearts, knowing that He has a better role for us and He has a better reward for us than this nastiness that we're having to put up with day in and day out. He has a better role for us and a better way for us and better in a better life, I guess. So much better than anything that we could ever comprehend or understand. For a text today, I'd like to continue with the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Pick up where we left off last week, and reading through to the end of the chapter. That would be verse 23, beginning with verse 23, and reading through 33. And we'll read these words in Jesus' name. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time will come when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, how speakest thou plainly and speakest and don't speak in proverbs? Now are we sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask you? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen." Heavenly Father, these indeed are your words. Father, we pray that you would give them to us and give us an understanding, that you would give us a strengthening, and that we would be able to look upon them and know and be encouraged by them. Father, it's your words are indeed truth, because you are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In beginning with verse 23, he, in a sense, is referencing the verse before, which we had last week. "And you know, therefore," "and you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your joy shall rejoice, and your joy no man will take it from you." Right now, at this time, they were in the process of witnessing Christ's trial, his crucifixion. And as we stated last week, Jesus was not leaving his disciples, nor does he leave us in a position where we don't know what's going to happen, where we don't know what's going to go on, where we don't know, or where we would be surprised by the occurrences that are going to take place, because he gives all that information to us. He prepares us. even as he was preparing the disciples here. And he's told them, he said, yeah, you're going to be sorry. You're going to have a heartfelt sorrow. You're going to weep, and you will carry on in such a way because I will no longer be with you. But then he says, but I will see you again. Can you imagine what that must have made them feel like? First off, for me, it would have been doubt. What? Look, I saw you die. And now you're telling me that you're going to be with me again? You see, they hadn't received that Holy Spirit yet. But this was even beyond that, because indeed we know that Jesus did physically, in body, see them again. Scripture tells us that. And he says, your heart shall rejoice. And that joy, no man will ever take it away from you. Isn't that the way it is when we come into faith? The joy of understanding God and the joy of acknowledging that he indeed is our salvation. And the joy and the acknowledgement that we have eternal life. It's ours because he loves us and has given it to us. And no man will ever take that away. Regardless of how we are treated, they will not take it away. So he goes on, he says, and in that day you'll ask of me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Again, he's preparing them. Because verses 24, or actually down through 24, he says, and then he goes on, hitherto, or up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. You haven't asked anything in my name. You've asked me a question. You asked me for guidance. You've asked me for all of these different things as you followed me. Questions as to what I said, questions as to how to deal with an issue that you may be faced with. And I answered those questions for you. And I told you, and I instructed you. But now here he's telling him, he says, up until now, I gave you that instruction. A lot of times you didn't understand them. Verse 25. These things I've spoken to you in Proverbs, or I've spoken to you in parables, or the ESV says, in a figure of speech, which is a common term that we use now. And we know what that means. But the time will come when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs, parables, figures of speech. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. He's speaking of when he leaves them. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, and they sat there. And I've often thought of this, standing there with the crowd, and there were a crowd. There weren't just the 12 disciples or 11 disciples or, you know, however many were at that time. I don't know if the 12th one was picked yet at that point. But the point is that there were a lot of other people there. People that followed Christ, people that adhered to his teachings, and people that who would be calling him their Savior. And they stood there, and they watched him being lifted up into the clouds. Could you imagine what that must have been like? To just watch him going up, and going up, and going up, and disappearing into the heavens. And when that Holy Spirit was given to each and every one of them, how they rejoiced, because now they understood. Now they knew what Jesus was talking about. Because that Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, all of the things that Jesus had been given by God was given to the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit then revealed it and gave it to mankind. Regardless of the situation that they were in, regardless of the things that they had to deal with, that Holy Spirit was there speaking with them and showing them and guiding them. Up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father through the Holy Spirit. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. At that day you shall ask in my name, but I'm not going to tell you that I'll pray the Father as I have in the past. I'm not going to tell you that, well, okay, I'll talk to God about this and I'll go ahead and ask him for it for you. He's telling him no. There's going to be one that's going to come and that you'll be able to speak with the Father directly. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that I can talk to God? I can talk to him, just like I'm talking to you now. And he hears every word that I'm saying. He hears everything that I'm saying. I can talk to him, and he understands. And I don't have to use fancy words. I don't have to use words that I kind of sort of understand, but don't really know the full meaning of. No, I can just speak simply and in words that he understands. We know in the Tower of Babel, he gave everybody a different language so there was confusion. He created the languages. Why wouldn't he understand them if we speak to him? He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're faced with. He knows what the trial is. He just wants us to acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to the point that gives him the glory and the understanding, or that he knows that we understand that he is our God and our salvation. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father. I'm not going to tell you that anymore. I'm not going to be praying to the Father, because you're going to be able to do it yourself. And that's what he's trying to convey to the disciples. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out of God. God loves us. Why? Because we loved him. We loved him in the form of his Son. We loved him because we knew that he loved us, and that the salvation that he offers to us even today comes from him. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He came into this world for one reason and one reason only. And of course, that was to be a perfect sacrifice and to offer himself up so that there would be salvation for all who would believe. So he came into the world. But now he says again, now I leave and I go to the Father. And he's talking about down the road. He's not doing it right at that moment. But he's talking about that ultimately, in the end, when all of this is over and all the things have been fulfilled, and that's the key, that all things have been fulfilled, then he is going to be going back to God. And that's a promise that he gives us today. That if we believe and we trust in what he has done and confess that he is Lord, we will be with the Father. It is also our reward, and he has promised that to us. And his disciples said to him, Lo, now you speak plainly. Now you're talking to us in plain English, as it were. Now are we sure that you know all things and need not know, and don't need to have any man that should ask you, but we believe that you have come forth from God. Now verse 31. Have you ever done this? Somebody asks you a question or gives you a statement and you answer it with a question? Verse 31, and Jesus answered them, do you now believe? A lot of times, And I know I've done this, and I'm sure, well, I can't say I'm sure. I would imagine others have done this. When you are asked a question, and you know what the answer is, but you will answer it with a question. And why is that? In this case, Jesus says, "Do you now believe?" And basically what he's saying is, "Do you believe in what I'm telling you?" And then he wants them to ponder that question. The same as we would want someone who asks us and we answer it in a question. Think about this deeply. Don't just skid over the surface and say, okay, this is what it is. Think about it. Ponder it. And really try to understand what it is or what the answer is to that question. Do you now believe? Sounds pretty simple on the surface. Simple answer, yes. But now start going deeper. Why do I believe? What is it that has happened in my life that has caused me to believe? What is it that God has done to me or for me that has allowed me to believe? It can get to be very deep, but it can also get to be very fulfilling, because now we know and understand who God is and how much he loves us. Behold, the hour comes, and it has now come. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. In Matthew, the 27th chapter of Matthew, in the 46th verse, Jesus is on the cross, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that an indication that he was not alone? On the surface, no, it's not. On the surface, to say that he was forsaken by God, on the surface, he was alone. Because God turned his back on him. But who did God turn his back on? Did he turn his back on his Son? The Son of God? Or did he turn his back on the sinful man? Because Christ took upon himself the sins of man. And that's who God turned his back on. You might want to call it Jesus the man. Because Jesus was in every sense a human. He was in every sense a man. Scripture tells us that he suffered as mankind does. And was tempted in every way. God turned his back on the sinfulness. But he did not turn his back on his Son, on the righteousness that Jesus still had because he was the Son of God. And here he says, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And that's a promise. And that's a promise he gives us today. We are not alone. Because God is with us. We do not walk this journey by ourselves, having to deal with and put up with all of the things that we have to face. We are not alone. God is with us. Don't try to do it on your own, but constantly be turning to prayer and constantly be asking Him for the guidance that you need, the guidance that I need, because it happens every day. These things I have spoken to you, that in you might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Romans chapter 8, there's a section here that I like to read. Kind of in reference to this verse. And it's chapter 8 and verses 35 through 39. And it is a promise that the Apostle Paul has given to all believers. But it is a promise that comes from God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I know I've talked about this before. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Will any of these things separate us? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him, not of our own, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, things that we don't even know about, things that are going to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that something that we can just grab a hold of and believe today? Believe it in such a way that we can walk joyfully knowing that we have salvation placed on our lap. We have salvation placed before us, and we can grab a hold of it and we can walk with it because our Savior loved us and he took our penalty upon himself and had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me because of my sin? God turned his back on mankind at that point. But thanks be to God, because at that point, after Jesus passed, the sacrifice was complete, and God continues to love us even to this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.